Podcasting 2.0 for January 12th, 2024, episode 163, Storage Power. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0, the second of the new year. And man, is there a lot to talk about, because this is the only boardroom that's open to the Fediverse. Everybody can participate. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country, ready to talk to you about the namespace, podcastindex.social, the org. It's all here. And in Alabama, the man who replies to his replies of his test replies. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
I hope that didn't come through to the whole world. I hope that wasn't aggravating everybody.
Oh, no.
Reply test reply.
I always have to restrain myself. From saying stuff like received, ignored,
in the pipe, 5x5.
That's exactly what I want to do. Is I want to give you a QSL report. You know, it's like yeah, 5x5. Oh man, I have set up probably the most cool thing. Speaking of 5x5, there's this.
I'm trying to guess what this is.
Okay, guess. Go. You'll never guess. Well, maybe
it,
you
is
will.
Is it technology?
Yes, technology. I mean, it's big time technology.
Is Start 9 something on the Start 9?
No. The Start 9 is just, that's my love. I love my Start 9. I have a love affair with my Start 9. No.
Nah, I don't know. I'm not going to get it.
So I got real productive this past week because we're doing a 5-day fast. And you get like, so just really focused and productive. So I cleaned up the studio, much to my wife's delight.
What day are you in of the 5-day fast?
5. So we break dinner tonight.
Okay, so you're running on like 90% ketones right now.
And this gigawatt coffee cold brew.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it too. Okay. You're spinning. Room spinning. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's been good. So, and then I got really focused, and I've been feeling for a while now. It's like I got to get my ham radio gear set up. And I was really looking for an excuse. And I've been into digital modes for a long time now because you can do stuff with just a wire out the window. I mean, the minute, computers are just analyzing data in the noise, right? Stuff you could never hear voice. And there's this new mode called VARAC, V-A-R-A-C. And it's almost like having Signal, you know, the app we use, Signal, on the ham radio. And people can leave you messages and you can relay from one rig to the other automatically. And it's just been very enjoyable.
Now, can you tell me if this... See, I haven't been certified ham since, 2004?
Yeah, you're expired. Oh, what? You are. 24. Yeah, you're expired.
Yeah, I'm expired. Yeah. And so, I'm expired. So the last I remember, like this was back when packet was a thing. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about essentially here? Is packet?
Yeah. Yes, we are. But it's because of since 2004, things have gotten so good that the compression technology is to the point where I think the throughput they're getting on these bands now is, it's close to like 3,000 baud, I guess, 3K almost. So you can
actually do quite a bit with that.
Yeah, you can send a little picture, black and white. I mean, it's not really recommended, but it's quite amazing to see. And I also have this. I always have this kind of fatalistic prepper thing about me, so I feel good.
Yeah,
feel good to have it. And so people have been reaching out. It's just cool the way it. You just leave it on and then you can act as a relay for other people. It's not so much like, I'm in a hobby here and I'm looking at everybody chatting with each other, talking about their rig. You can actually have a little comment and you're just typing on the key. And even when you're typing on the keyboard, you'll see the other person will see Adam is typing, so it's pretty, it's pretty cool.
You qualify that as like presence.
Yes. Presence data. Yes. Oh, good one. And you can ping someone just to make sure they're online. I mean, it's cool. It's cool. You could consider renewing. It's not that hard to get your license.
I've I've started to like three times. I keep running out.
I mean, the thing you got to know is
focus drifts, you know.
I mean, you go get the test for this year and it has all the answers. It's multiple choice. It's just on the test itself, the answers are out of order. So you just have to memorize what the answer is. It's literally that simple.
It's evidently too hard for me.
you got to know the trick. It's almost like getting a pilot's license. It's really a license to learn how to fly, if I'm really honest about it. When I got my license, I was surprised. I'm like, really? You passed me? Oh, wow. Okay.
I feel like the fact that I originally got certified back when Morse code was a requirement, that should have grandfathered me in for life, but evidently
I agree. And of course, code is no longer a requirement. Although I love doing code. I love it. I was probably up to like 12 words a minute at one point.
That's pretty good.
It's lapsed. It's completely lapsed now.
I can't remember what the minimum was for the novice class when I did it. What
five
words per minute?
I think it was five words per minute. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think technician was like 10 or 12 technician class, because they changed the classes afterwards. Yeah, like there's not as many classes now as there used to be.
Yeah, technician is now the I think that's the lowest. Then you get general and then you get extra. Okay. Yeah.
Extra. Yeah.
So
extra
I'm a general. Like 20. I never went for the extra.
The guy that I learned from had he was extra and he had the little double paddle.
Yeah, yeah, I have that too. Yeah, sure. That lambic paddle.
Yeah, right.
So you hold it and
fly.
You hold it and it does, you know, repeat. So, you know, yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's not the sending. I could actually send way faster than I could interpret.
Oh, I got good at interpreting because it's like music. You know, you just start to hear it. You start to, you go, do, 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 do. That's CQDX. You know, do, 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 do. You can just, oh, I know that song. Oh, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Do, 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 do. That's my name. Wow, it's coming back.
I've lost all of it, obviously, but that was pretty fun. I mean, just everybody in, because I did that in high school. Mm-hmm. That was my, I had this class in the first semester. So it was broken into like two halves of the year. So and it was called, this class was called Consumer Electronics.
Oh, beautiful. I'm sure that class is no longer given.
Oh, I'm sure it's gone. And the first half of the class was, first half of the year was aerospace. And you just went through all aeronautics and the way that, you know, flight works and all this kind of stuff and space travel and everything. And then the second, rocketry, we built a model rocket.
Oh, yeah. I did that as a kid. I love model rocketry. What did you, did you have a rocket?
I didn't have one personally, but we built one and then launched it on the football field and all this kind of stuff. It was really fun.
Hooked up to the car battery and you put that explosive cartridge in there, that, you know, solid fuel. And then you did a countdown, you hit the button. And
like back when you could do things at school.
Now it would be deemed dangerous. Oh, we can't do that. You know, someone could get hurt.
Mm-hmm. We also had lawn darts back then and all that, you know. You remember lawn darts?
Of course.
Those things will spear your brain.
Hasn't everybody had one in their shin at some point? Like, ow! You know. Oh, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway. Let's see. I was going to say. Just off the bat, I wanted to thank Spurlock. Oh, no, before I forget that. Kilo 5 Alpha Charlie, if you want to reach me on bar AC. 20 meters, everybody. So Spurlock upgraded OP3 after listening to the last boardroom. That was one of those delightful moments where I'm just beaming from ear to ear.
I saw this and I was like, oh, you're going to be all over this.
I love it. I love it. And of course, it's just it's sample data and I'm sure it'll get better over time. And, you know, it spurred a very interesting conversation about sending timestamps in the TLV records. I mean, I love all this stuff. This is good. This is really, I think, you know, we're upgrading some stuff here, you know, just by looking at it.
Yeah. And it brought back a conversation about batching because there's a batch spec. You know, people forget that Satoshi Stream still around, live and kicking.
Yep. By the way, you guys, you should probably balance our channel because I think we're filling up. I checked it the other day. If we can balance that, that'd be great.
I'm having trouble before I forget, I'm having so much trouble with my channel from my Umbral to Podcast Index.
Yeah.
Node. I'm still having problems. And what's funny is my channel to the Boost bot seems fine, mm-hmm. but it's over Tor. But my channel, my ClearNet channel.
Oh, really? To
Podcast Index is says ClearNet? Offline all the time.
It's ClearNet, yeah. Huh?
Yeah, it's just over IP.
Well, the Start 9 I've had, and that is not ClearNet. That's Tor. That's been rock solid from day one. The Umbral, I had all kinds of problems. Now I was running it over Tor, all kinds mm-hmm. of problems. And this is the only data point I have, until my connection here went from Spectrum cable to the fiber, 5 gigabit fiber. Once that mm-hmm. happened, all those problems went away on my Umbral.
See, I've got.
So I'm thinking it has to, but ClearNet shouldn't have that problem at all. That's surprising.
I've got fiber. I'm fiber. I'm basically Ethernet out of the Umbral straight into the fiber. I don't know. I'm afraid I'm just going to have to rebuild this thing.
Well, aren't you building a Start 9?
Well, that's what I mean. Build it as a Start 9. And just have this machine, just take my node off of my rig.
Yeah. You'll be so happy if you put it on a Start 9. I mean, everyone's results may vary due to road and weather conditions, but man, it's been rock solid from day one. You know, every upgrade has gone well, knock on wood. But they don't upgrade the apps as quickly or release new apps. In fact, it's very slow. And I know they're working on release 4, which will actually add ClearNet. They have some way of doing this that will not involve a third party. Like, what's the thing we use?
The hotel scale.
Tail scale. Yeah. And I think Umbral just released cloud, you know, you can use your Cloudflare proxy or something. They just released an app for that. But Cloud9's whole idea is no third parties. You should be able to do everything. They didn't want you to use Let's Encrypt. You know, like you should be your own authority.
Your own signer.
Exactly.
SSS certificate.
Yes.
Signer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they show you how to do it. You know how to authenticate your own sign off. Yeah.
Honestly, the whole PKI infrastructure with delegated signing authorities and that kind of thing in SSL, I mean, in TLS world, that's all a bunch of, it's all a bunch of hogwash anyway. Well, you can't be, you're always dependent on somebody else to like vouch for you.
Yeah.
This weird paid buddy system.
My thinking is that, basically Google can just spy on all of us.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's what I've always thought. And you know me, I've always been against HTTPS for things that don't need it. And we just got bullied into it. You know, people are like, man, it could be man in the middle. Oh, great. Okay. So someone's going to change the words on my blog. All right, go ahead. I'm sure that's just fine.
Right. And then internal local host stuff and your local LAN. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm looking at our stats thing, this thing that Spurlock
for our show. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this brings up,
I should probably explain what he did here for people who don't know.
Oh yeah. Go for it.
So op3.dev, everybody can add the prefix so that you get stats from op3.dev. It's a beautiful project. And we were talking on the last show about adding to that, the ability to get the per minute stream payments from podcasting 2.0 value for value streaming payments, add that data in there. So you can kind of, cause I've been using it on conchax.app and I find it very enjoyable to do an analysis of the show, how long people, even though it's of course a small portion of all the listeners, it's helped me a lot in determining where we do certain things and how people respond to certain things. And so he's now incorporated that into the OP3 stats dashboard and actually gives you a little analysis. So I thought, what did it say that was like 60% of the listeners listen to 90% of our show? Was that something like that, I think?
Yeah, so this is what I'm looking at. It says 75% of listeners listen to at least 25% of an episode. Mm-hmm. 60% of listeners listen to at least half, mm-hmm. and 40% of listeners listen to at least 90%.
Yeah,
which tells me, like,
tells me that some people need to be kicked off the board.
Look, people, if you can't show up to the board meetings,
if you can't stay the whole board meeting, then you shouldn't show up at all.
Yeah, it's like that one, you know, on any board, it's like that one or two guys that always are like, hey, I'm going to be on the road. Can I call in? Yeah,
can I call in? Like, exactly.
Yeah. They're the call in guys.
I'll call in. And then, you know, and then those guys always somehow get off mute. And then everyone's spending their time like, hey, you know, mute. Can you mute? Can you mute?
Yeah. You hear their radio and all this stuff. Yeah. It's road noise.
Hot mic.
So, yeah, hot mic. So this is back. So I listened to a little bit of Pod News Weekly Review.
Oh, you did this morning. I didn't get any of it this morning. I was
okay.
In the word, Laura, in the word bit. This morning.
Sam asks this simple question that we've pondered on this show. Do people actually want real stats? Real podcast stats, like, no, listening stats.
I don't think they don't. So. No, of course not. It would devastate people.
Yeah, and this is why, because it showed these are the most dedicated people.
I would think so.
Because these are people streaming sats to our show. I mean, like,
sending value.
Yes, it's intentional. They're the people who are going to, they're the early adopters, they're the geeks, they're the most techie, and they, in that audience, only 40% of those people listen to the whole show.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're a normal podcaster, and you start looking at actual listening statistics, you're just going to get sad.
Well, you're just going to get sad. unless you've been doing it for a long time, like me, and you know the reality of things. I mean, you're really fooling yourself into thinking that people listen to the whole show. Yeah. I find it very helpful because I like to look at not so, because there's always a drop off. This is always going to be a slope down to the bottom at the end of mm-hmm. every podcast. I like seeing people come back for donation segments. And that tells me that people who probably donated want to hear it. But it also tells you that not everybody hears the ask, which is important. Mm-hmm. On No Agenda, we have the end of show mixes and the people come back for that. And so you can see it, and people are bopping around. People use chapters, you know, to skip a segment. I would love to see Pod News, the daily Pod News. I'll bet you people listen to all of Pod News. It'll slope for sure, but I'll bet you that people, because right. what, 3-4 minutes, I bet you they listen all the way through. I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
Although once that end music starts, which is the sponsor, this is brought to you by Hindenburg. I'm like, okay, click.
No, no.
I have Hindenburg. I'm no longer a potential client. I have Hindenburg.
Now, I am glad that you, on that front, I'm glad that you shamed me into upping my per minute stream to Pod News Weekly Review, because I found myself bopping around in that show. Like, I'm just not interested enough in the podcast industrial complex to listen to, like, a, you know, 30 minute interview with, you know, some media buyer. So I will literally just skip that interview.
Sure.
And I feel bad, cause I'm like, I don't.
Then send a boost later if you feel bad. Here's something interesting that I noticed. I did a Boostagram ball last Saturday. It was good to do it. I love doing that so much. I mean, my schedule is just so full with things. And I don't want to just, you know, do a show. I want to think about it. I want to, you know, listen to other value for value music podcasts, you know, listen to what other people are talking about and other songs. You know, I really care about this. It is a highlight of the week for me if I get to do it on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And so this guy that I met in Houston at a podcast conference, Alan C. Paul, he donated. We talked about him. In fact, we played a little bit of his music, right? Didn't we play a little bit of his music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. And did I put that into a value time split? Let me just check for a second.
Yikes,
I have a horrible feeling I didn't. Let me see. I didn't. But I played him on Boostagram Ball. I played the whole thing. It's 6 minutes long. Mm. And so I look at the podcasting 2.0 top today. It's the top 95.
And we're dropping.
And all week long, his song, Not Far Away, has been at the top. And then I realized the way we compile this chart is based upon payment events, Boostagrams and streams. Well, of course, he's going to get twice as many if people listen to the whole song than Jimmy V, who's right under him at number two, whose song is 3 minutes and 20 seconds long.
Right.
So I'm just saying there's a skew there that we might want to wait for, as in W-E-I-H-G-H-T. Does that make sense?
I'm not
The longer your song, the more minutes streaming payments per minute you're going to get.
I see. You're talking about song length.
Yeah, song length, exactly.
Well,
interesting. It's just something
how would
to
I
think
get
about.
That?
I don't know. I don't know. That's. I mean, hey, I'm just the idea guy here.
Well, yeah. Everybody hates the idea guy. Okay, well that shouldn't be too hard, because then if you look, the value time split, you just look at the start time and the duration, and or not even the start time, you just look at the duration of the value time split, how long it lasts, and then sort of like divide it to get an average.
Maybe that's the way to do it. Seems like, I was like, wow, people, and it's a great song, don't get me wrong. I mean,
question number two is, will Dave ever do this?
And no. Of course not. Why even bother with question number two? But just move straight to three, which is C1. Okay, there we go.
C1. Right. Yeah. We'll talk about this 17 shows from now and not remember we talked about it.
Before we bring our guest in, I'd love to get a little update on your fetification status of the index. Okay. And I'll prefix that by saying that I've had incredible difficulty.
I don't like to hear this. This is not good.
I'm just doing it wrong, no doubt. So what I started doing the minute you had this in place, before it was, was still the alpha code, of course, I would go to podcastindex.social when I'd published. I publish and then I put the base URL in, the base post for cross app comments, even though it's barely used. I'm holding on to it. And then I would click on that post and then copy the link and put it in as the root post of the cross app comments. And I'm sure I'm doing something wrong, because either people would click, it was not a link for some reason on some, when I posted that, it just wouldn't work. I mean, even that link itself, it's not a direct link to that post unless you're logged into, a Mastodon server. Is very confusing. I just wanted that to be the root post that I can also send people to and say, oh, here's the show. You can use that link on any ActivityPub application to comment on it. But that link is not good. Does this make sense, what I'm saying?
It does. So here there's like a, so you're, what you have always done, if I'm not mistaken, is that you have taken
your post.
You've taken my post. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because that exists before the show is published.
Yeah.
In the feed. Yep. So you need like, otherwise you'd have to publish the show, then go back and change it.
Which I do for No Agenda and all my other shows.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I put it as empty, and the minute it's empty, then or sometimes I'd just post a link on Mastodon. I do that with chapters, although I put in a dummy chapter a transcript. So I go back and then it's not been a problem. No one's ever complained about it. But the link I got was podcastindex.social/@92066@ap.podcastindex.org/11166566598980057. And that did not work.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
And that didn't work. So I'm not sure what link I should be using. And I've tried just doing, removing the podcast. Just none of it worked. I wound up just making it worse.
Let's see, podcasting 2.0.
So for example,
I'm trying to look at the feed to see what the URL for the last one was, because this is,
well, the last
this actually
one,
doesn't.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense to me, because it should work. So if you before the way that the see the way that it, the way that I thought it was going
to
happen,
it seems to work now.
Hmm. Does it? How are you verifying this?
I just copy and pasted the link into my browser. But I wonder, because it's a podcast index.social link. I don't know if you can see those if you're not logged in. You know what I mean? See,
that's what I posted. That's what I've posted before, and that's always worked. It's just a podcast index link. Well, okay, so here, what may be happening here is I've been working on replies all week. Okay.
We noticed.
And... Yeah, right. Thank you. Been working on replies all week, and there was no reply capability within the bridge before.
Right.
And well, I mean, there really still isn't. So the endpoints just didn't function. The way replies work.
Wait, stop. Let me give you a data point. Stop. I'm sorry to stop you.
All right.
I logged out of podcastindex.social. Okay. And then I posted that link, and then I got what everybody got, which was a page of JSON.
Okay, so let me try that.
I believe that is because if you're not logged into a Mastodon server, that's what you get.
Okay, so let me log out of podcastindex.social. I guess I'm going to have to do that. Yeah, log out. All right, so now let me paste in. And we're talking about the podcastindex.social at 920666 at blah, 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 yeah, and then a number.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm going to hit that. Yeah. Okay.
Which is probably correct. It's probably correct. I'm thinking.
Yes. Okay. Well, here's what's happening. Yes. Okay. This will be solved when I get the replies.
Woohoo! That's all I needed to hear, baby. We don't even have to talk about it.
Just for clarity, what's happening here is that when you're not logged in, Mastodon appears to forward you to the referenced.
Yes, I'm seeing that.
The referenced post.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. Yep.
And then you can see there it says replies at the bottom. It's null.
Right.
Okay. So, and that's why it's not working.
Can I ask you one other question just while I'm at it? For the cross-act comments, I have to add parameters platform and platform account ID, and then account URL for this platform. Does it matter what I put in there?
I'm not sure that it matters at this point.
Okay.
You want it to be accurate, but I don't know that it.
But what do I want it to be?
Well,
because Dave and then. Your account URL /user/Dave.
Yeah, but see, that's not actually true in this regard, because I'm
exactly.
It's not my account that posted this thing that you're referencing.
Exactly.
It's the account is 920666 at ap.podcastindex.org.
Ah, okay. Got it.
That's the account.
Got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, just so what I've been doing this week is trying to get reply. I don't want this thing to become a general purpose AP server.
Agreed.
Right. You know, that's not in any way valuable to us. But you do need it to track replies to the extent that it can hand them back in a case like this, so that when people reply to things, you can see the replies when you go to the episode. And so a lot of this week I've just been posting stuff and watching things, watching the JSON that comes through on the bridge when replies get posted. So there's multiple. So like this, think through the scenario with me for a second. You have a new episode gets posted. The bridge then posts it to followers. Servers, it shows up in their timeline. Then somebody replies.
Right.
Okay. That reply on their ActivityPub server then triggers a create event to the shared inbox URL of the bridge.
Right.
So you have a create event that gets posted, and attached to that create event is an object, which is just a big blob of JSON with all the details of the post. And the object is of type note. So it's it creates a note object and sends that to the shared URL of the AP bridge. The first reply is always going to be to the root post, essentially, mm-hmm. to that episode,
right,
on the bridge. That then gives you something that's attached to that called a conversation tag.
Ah.
So then I'm telling you what I've sort of settled on, because here's the next scenario. You reply, then I reply to your reply, not to the original post.
Correct.
So now I'm replying. You say something, then I'm replying to you.
Right.
And it's really part of the same thread, but then
you move it over to the other person's Mastodon instance. Am I saying that right?
So, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So like if you're on your instance, I'm on my instance. We both get a copy of the note that was created when the bridge sent out the episode. You reply to that episode on your ActivityPub server. My server and the bridge both get a create event, and we record that reply.
Right.
Then I see that on my server. I see your reply show up underneath the episode post. And then I reply not to the episode post, but to your reply. Now, that create event with the note object attached goes to the bridge and to the shared inbox of your server.
Mm-hmm.
But now it no longer has a reference to the original post where I can extract the podcast ID and the episode GUID from it. So I can't associate it directly back to that post. So the best we can do is look for this conversation property.
Right. Yes. Okay. That makes sense why I wasn't seeing all the comments before.
Right. Yeah. So the conversation property is like this long string, like in this regard, like the one I'm looking at right now is like tag, colon, ap.podcastindex.org, comma, the date, object ID, blah, 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 object. So it's got this long string, and that should be unique for this entire message thread. So what I'm doing now is the first post that comes back in, the first reply that comes back in, I'm extracting the podcast ID and the episode GUID, sticking that in the replies table with the conversation tag string attached to it. When another reply comes in, if it doesn't have an extractable podcast index ID and episode GUID, I extract the conversation tag out of that create request and look for another reply in the table that has that same conversation tag. If it finds one, it then associates it back to that thread so that now... So that's all done. So the next step of this is the part I'm about to start tonight will be now collecting those replies and returning them in the replies property that you see is now null. So step two will be populating that reply property of the post object with all the replies that is collected.
Dave, you had me at big blob of JSON.
Okay. There is so much JSON going on with an activity, but it just makes your eyes cross. Like it really does. That all those replies and replies to replies and replies to replies to replies. That's really like what I'm doing every time I do that is take the JSON out, stick it in an editor, mm-hmm. and then do another one, stick it in an editor, and then just start making comparisons between how are these wow. things different.
Wow.
Oh, it just makes, it'll make your head spin.
Well, it's appreciated, brother. You're doing the Lord's work here. That's a lot of messy stuff. Should we bring our guest in?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
New to the boardroom. We're very happy to have him here, particularly because he has created a podcasting 2.0 native hosting company. He is the founder, CEO, lead developer, and customer success representative of podhome.fm. Say hello to our friend on the other end. Here's Barry Leibrecht.
Hey, hello. Hi. Excellent pronunciation.
Yes, well done. But do you go by Barry or Buddy?
Yeah, Buddy in Dutch, but then, easy because it works in both languages, right?
Yeah, it's uncanny how much you sound like Mark Void Zero. Oops, did he just, let me see if I can restore him. Sorry about that. Sorry about that, Barry. That was my mistake. I messed that up. I was going to say,
Barry, I'm sorry. I have no hope of pronouncing your last name. I mean, it's just
that's fine. Don't try.
No. What's interesting is, Void. Do you know Void Zero? Do you know Void Zero, Mark, who does the No Agenda infrastructure? No,
I have no idea. No.
So you should meet him because you sound like brothers. It's uncanny how much really? You sound alike. It really okay. is. Yeah. So you're in the Netherlands. Where are you in the Netherlands?
I'm in Breda, so that's in the south of the Netherlands.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. It's cold here everywhere.
Is Purple Rain still there?
Purple Rain. What are you talking about?
It was a coffee shop.
Oh right, yes, that is still here.
That used to be my coffee shop, man. When I was in Belgium, I'd drive up to Purple Rain and stock up.
Mm. Yeah, is this a rural area or is this city?
No, it's a city.
It's just a big city. Yeah, it's a real nice. Yeah, it's actually a beautiful city.
It is, yeah. And coffee shops here are everywhere, so it's not rare, not special at all.
Right. I just love going there because it was run by a bunch of Moroccan dudes, and whenever it was Sonkran, then I'd come late in the day. And I'd stock up and like, hey, why don't you stay? Because they'd have after sundown, then all these dudes start cooking. It was just amazing food they would make. It was, so first you smoke some weed and like, hey man, this is good food.
that's right. These are Dutch coffee shops, which are different than regular coffee shops.
Okay. I'm sorry. I should have clarified. You can't actually get coffee in the coffee shop. So. Yeah,
right. No, that's a different store.
Yeah,
exactly. That's funny.
So Barry, give us your background and how you came into podcasting 2.0.
Yeah, so my background is in software development, like a lot of people listening here as well. I started out when I went to school. I actually started out, working on electricity as a technical engineer, and then I thought, these computers are also pretty cool. Let me, tinker with that stuff. So I went into software development. Didn't learn that in school because, school.
Right.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. So did that on my own whilst I was in school because when you are in school, you have lots of time. It was a long time ago. And then started out as a software engineer back in the day, all in the Microsoft stack because, that was just what I was used to. I grew up on Windows.
Win32 or C#?
Win32 first, and then .NET came out. So .NET 1.0 and 1.1, revolutionary and didn't work at all in the beginning. Yeah.
It's like that's a big thing that has to load for some of our applications, right? It's like loading .NET framework. Yum.
Oh yeah, Win32 was so beautiful. It just worked every time.
Yeah. .NET still has a bad rep because it is, Microsoft and slow and Windows and all that type of stuff. But it's very, very modern. It's been around for decades now and they kept it pretty modern and it's very, very, very fast. So very performant. So I kept on doing that as a software developer. Always loved it when you type something on the screen, you press a couple buttons, something compiles, and then hopefully, something happens on the screen and a user has a button to push. And that's just magic to me. And I'm sure that a lot of listeners will recognize that as well. So I keep on doing that. And for the longest time that I can remember, I've been learning through podcasts as well. So software development, technology stuff, health stuff, conspiracies, the news,
yes.
Everything that I can learn.
Now you're talking my language, brother.
Yeah. Hey, no agenda. I love it. It keeps me sane. But you know, I think podcasts are incredibly valuable because even now with all the censorship going on, this is kind of the last final medium that is uncensored-ish, you know?
Yeah, right on.
So you can kind of say what you want on a podcast, so you can also learn what you want on a podcast, and you can hear from all the voices out there, left, right, center, up, down, whatever. Everybody can speak their mind, and everybody can tune into what they like.
Right.
And that is still the case, and, you know, it will probably not be the case in the future on the platforms. So Apple, Spotify, all these, the industry or whatever you call it, they will censor more and more. But with this initiative, obviously Podcasting 2.0, we can keep this free and free speech. Yes. And that is very, very important because podcasts, I use it to learn. I use it to be inspired. I use it to, just in general, it's just such a part of my life. And I think that everybody that listens to podcasts probably has the same, right? So you bake these things in. Like usually on a Saturday morning, I would listen to this show. Now I have some time off because I already listened to it. But it becomes just part of your routine.
Yes.
And it's very, very important that we keep this format alive. And so last year, I had kind of a crossroads where I could do, you know, more courses because I create online courses about Microsoft Azure, HTML, all sorts of things. And that's kind of how I make my money nowadays. But I really don't like doing that. Or I could create something valuable that could help the thing that I love, which is podcasting. I also create a couple podcasts myself, and I know how difficult that can be, how much work that can be. To create lots of cool metadata around it so that people can enjoy it, like chapters, transcripts, you know, a good title, identify the people, all that type of stuff.
You know, that's clips. So important. And I think Dave would probably attest to that. Once he became a podcaster himself, it changed his thinking about development for the platform, for the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, totally. It did. Yeah, you don't really see, because, you know, I think I mentioned this before, back with the Freedom Controller, with Adam's show notes and that kind of thing. I just always misunderstood what he needed and what the workflow was because I just wasn't there. It wasn't in it. If you're not, you know, it's so easy to come in from the outside and say, oh, well, you know, this, just do this and this and this and this. Well, then,
yeah.
You know, the most valuable part of Podcasting 2.0 project has been since the beginning. The podcast hosting companies,
yeah,
telling us, you know, you're misunderstanding this, or this is not the way this thing works, or this is not super, you know, like this is not important, like that kind of feedback, because we're not hosting companies, you know, we're
critical. Yeah, yeah. I had a lot of misconceptions myself.
Yeah,
yeah, it just is. It's important, and now like. I'm sure, Barry, now that you're running a host, you've found out a lot of stuff you probably didn't know before.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, customers use this in various ways, and they have lots of tools in their workflow, like people use Descript or StreamYard or all sorts of things that they want to plug into their workflow and make it work with Podhome somehow. So I continue to innovate every day. And that's relatively easy still because I'm greenfield. I don't really have a lot of technical debt. So I can do that. But yeah, so the main purpose of Podhome is to make it as easy as possible for podcasters to upload their stuff and then create a full-blown episode that listeners can enjoy with all the bells and whistles and modern features like transcripts, chapters, people, clips, show notes, title, all that type of stuff. And that's what it does. And the other thing is that it is unlimited. Because I previously also hosted with Libsyn, for instance. I don't want to talk badly about Libsyn, but one of the things that most hosts run into is limitations with storage and bandwidth, right? Those things just cost money. So yeah. I wanted to just take that away for podcasters. They don't need to know all that. So at Podhome, you can just host whatever you want. You can host 1,000 shows if you have 1,000 shows with 1,000,000 episodes, unlimited uploads, and also unlimited downloads. And that all for one price.
Now, I got to stop you there, brother. I need to understand this because, you know, Libsyn was very early in the game. I think they were probably the first full-blown hosting company. And I never understood how they did it. I've never understood how they could offer what they did for the pricing that they did, because at the time I foolishly had started a podcast network, but had a lot of money from investors. So I was like, oh, it doesn't matter. And I never really understood that side of the business. And when I hear Todd from Blueberry talking about his, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a month, I mean, what you just said, if I showed up with no agenda, would that still be the case for you? I mean, I could still do that for one low price. How do you do that?
Yeah, for $15.99. Come on over. So I'm going to give away my secret now.
You don't have, if that's a trade secret, that's okay. No. You don't have to.
If you can Google Bing it or whatever good search engine you use.
Kagi.com.
Kagi, that's a good one. DuckDuckGo I use. But I use Cloudflare. So a lot of people use Cloudflare, and I use Cloudflare R2 buckets, which is kind of like Amazon AWS S3 buckets. So that's just a bucket that contains data, like episode data in this case. And the fun thing about R2, and they haven't been doing this for long, is that you do not pay for egress data. So data going out of the data center. You just pay a low storage fee, and storage is relatively cheap.
That's what Linode did until they didn't.
Yeah.
Isn't that true, Dave?
No, you're talking about...
Oh, no, not Linode, but what's the other one? Wasabi, right.
Yeah, no egress fees, but then as soon as you get over a certain amount of gigabits of egress per month, you get a phone call. And the phone call is, we don't like you anymore.
Yeah.
Go away.
That was the phone call. Yeah.
Or upgrade to our undocumented pro plan.
Yeah.
where we allow you lots of egress and you pay us for it.
Yeah. Well, then still is if that is the case, and I don't believe that is the case, then still there will be a free base, you know, like an amount of free egress that you can use every month.
Right.
And then it will still be fine. But that really is a game changer, because egresses can be extremely expensive if you do that with a traditional thing like Azure or AWS. Ridiculously expensive.
This is just some history. The No Agenda RSS feed has, I was putting a lot more information in there. I put full, it still has a lot in there. I'm trying to think. I mean, I was putting full show notes in there, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, Dave has always managed all of my stuff, because at the time the feeds were being created by the Freedom Controller, which now is Sovereign Feeds. And my S3 bill, what was it, Dave? Like 700, 800 bucks a month. It was going crazy.
And got over 1500 at one point.
Yeah. And the Dave's like, no, we got to change this. And then I think that's when you moved. And also because I put all the clips out there and everything. And so all of that was being sucked out by people, and it was just becoming incredibly expensive. And then we went to Wasabi, and that worked for a while until we got that phone call. It was like, no, you can't. And then I think, Dave, you set it up through Linode and Cloudflare, I believe, right?
Yeah. So what we're doing right now is it's Cloudflare in front of Linode. And so the Linode thing is you can get, with every VM, you get a certain amount of egress. Mm. And so they're very generous with their egress. So we set up a VM, a decent sized VM on Linode with running Minio. So it's basically self-hosted S3 buckets. And then we use the egress that the VM comes with to basically to cover what's going to Cloudflare. And then I think the benefit that you're running into with Cloudflare there is that they're still sort of in, I wouldn't say growth mode, but they're trying to take market share from AWS and that kind of thing. So they're going to, they're going to allow you to hurt them a little bit before, you know, you're going to have to get really, really aggressive before they give you a phone call. You know, you're probably going to have a long runway before you get that bad phone call.
And it's worth talking to Void Zero, because he set us up a long time ago on OVH, and I'm not sure exactly how he did it, but we have 3 or 4 different servers and different colos that are on the OVH network. And we've been paying, it's $500-$600 a month for the longest time. And we even added, you know, big secret, but all of the IPFS stuff is basically all running off of the No Agenda infrastructure, because that's the gateway. But for some reason that works. And, you know, so just for the future, because I love the marketing. I love the marketing of, don't worry about all that, unlimited, come on in. You're paying for the tools, you're paying for the service. I love that. Just, I would like to protect you for your future upside.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I do have backup plans as well, if this doesn't work, because I do not want to be, tied to just one single point of failure.
Exactly. Thing,
you know,
yeah.
The same as with the whole AI thing. Like, I have this Pod Home AI. That's the thing that does it automatically, right? It creates transcripts for you.
Can you explain that? Because you graciously gave us accounts. Now, I'll be honest, I have not taken advantage of that to look at it. So as a podcast, you come in, you upload your show. How much is automatically created on Pod Home?
Yeah, so you hit the big new episode button, you upload your audio, and you flip the switch. Hey, I want to use Pod Home AI. And, you know, that's this catchy name, because everything is AI, right? And then you can say, well, what do I want? I want transcripts. I want chapters. I want title ideas and a description, so show notes. I want to detect people and try and generate some clips for me as well, some interesting outtakes in the form of sound bites. And so it goes and it does that with a couple of services in the background. It takes a couple of minutes for an hour of audio. And then it suggests all of that to you. It says, hey, we came up with these 5 titles. What do you think? Pick one. And this is show notes. What do you think? You can change it, of course. And these are chapters. And these are the people that we think are in this episode. You can confirm that if you like. And here are some clips as well. And those clips are, like I said, they are included in the feed as sound bites. And I now also included a feature where a client side, you can say, all right, from this clip, can you just generate a little video clip as well with the show artwork or episode artwork or artwork that you upload yourself?
Does it do artwork as well?
I do not generate artwork. No, I don't do that, because that is very difficult. I've been using AI this week to generate some images for a new feature that I'm creating, and it's really bad at it. It sucks. You see these videos online, people that are using a Midjourney or DALL-E or whatever it's pronounced, and it all looks amazing, right? Like, ooh, wow, that's amazing. I want, because I'm building a feature now for podcasters so that they can get achievements and rewards. So, you know, when you upload something, you get, I don't know, let's say 50 experience points, and that adds up to a level. And with each level, you reach, you get something like a discount or a coupon.
Barry, gamifying the hosting business. I like that. Nice.
It's fun, because it's difficult to be a podcaster and to keep it up, right? So you need some encouragement.
Yeah.
And I want to add some real value to that as well, like, you know, actual discount to your monthly bill, for instance. But, yeah, anyway, so I was trying to generate these badges, like I create a round thing for me that says great podcaster or something. And it kept getting it wrong. It just cannot do it. Yeah. Huh. So
I saw that you have on your trial sign up that you have a requirement to put in a credit card. Is that intentional to keep the spammers out?
Yeah, definitely. And just also for my the internal workflow as well.
Yeah. So because that's a huge problem. That's such a huge problem with free trials. I know that RSS.com and Buzzsprout and I know that they've really just struggled with. No, I won't say struggle. I mean, they deal with it, but like, it's just constant battle with these spammers that are always trying to game those free trials. I think they have, you know, that stuff in place. They have bigger teams, you know, they have a big team that can handle something like that. But with a small one man operation like you have, I mean, I think it would be overwhelming to try to deal with something like that.
Yeah. Plus I think I cater to a different audience as well. So I cater to people that really want to create something of quality, right? So they are probably more willing to pay up the $15.99 per month for unlimited podcasting. And I get it, you know, like Buzzsprout, for instance, you sign up for free, you can have a free podcast if you like, until you run into a threshold or something, and you can just have that there. But you know, that will just create lots of junk. I don't want that.
I'm impressed, actually. You know, you have a very unique combination of technical skills, obviously, but your marketing. You know, I really enjoy, you know, just looking at the site, and you know, you have a separate path for artists, for value music. It's just, that's a unique combination, I would say. Usually, even in startups, you'll see two guys, right? Yeah. You see a technical guy and the marketing guy. I mean, and you seem to be both in one. Where's that come from?
I don't know. So I've been doing online courses and stuff for a decade now, which means, you know, talking to a microphone and creating materials like slides and pictures and stuff to explain things. So basically explaining things in image and in words. So perhaps it comes from there. And through that, I also needed to market myself, of course, in that world, as I call myself Azure Barry, you know, just to make it easy so that I don't have to use my last name. but really, I'm not good at marketing. I'm okay at creating these materials, but the marketing itself, like on social media and stuff, I hate that.
When I say marketing, I mean just the website and all that stuff. The onboarding path, those are all good. I mean, you got that down. I think that's really impressive.
What mediums do you support, Barry? Is it just podcasting and music right now, or do you have other like audiobook and that kind of thing?
Podcast, well, everything that's currently supported in the index or in the namespace. So that's podcast, music, audiobook, and I also added course because I have a couple of courses that I just want to upload there as well. Although it's not an official thing, and I don't think any apps are actually using it, but at least it's you know, semantically, then it's correct.
One of the big things I found, well, the two main things that people choose podcast hosts, the two criteria they choose it for is customer service, which, you know, obviously you're small, you're one guy, so it's going to be stellar above and beyond, I'm sure. And the second one is statistics, which is, you know, a current topic that we've been talking about. How do you handle that?
Yeah, so statistics. Well, first of all, I am never going to get IAB certified, and not because I'm not doing it.
You and nobody else.
Yeah, probably. I just don't want to. I'm not going to pay that fee. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, you're not alone. Now nobody's paying the fee. Everybody's
bailing out. Yeah.
I think. I think it's helpful to have something that everybody uses kind of the same way to measure it. Right. That's helpful. But still, it's very difficult because, first of all, these things are just not downloads, and the information that you get from a request is just not very reliable. You know, IP addresses, where do they come from? Who knows? I use a VPN all the time. I switch countries all the time. I have devices that run on IP6 that change their IP address quickly. So it's very difficult to actually know what's going on, let alone to determine, did you actually listen to this thing, or was it a download? Was it an automatic download? Was it something else? Was it actually the same guy that listened to this episode and continued to listen to it within this same 24 or 48 hours? So I do a lot of filtering, and I probably filter a bit too much. So I do use the IAB methods that they recommend within their guidelines. And I also use the, how do you pronounce it? OPWAG, the John Spurlock stuff, to filter and to determine which apps and which things match the user agents, which is brilliant, by the way. So my stuff is pretty accurate, but what I really like is OP3. I think that's brilliant because, you know, John is doing that like almost full time, it seems, and always making it better. And it's it just looks very clean.
Do you have that as an option in your dashboard for OP3?
Well, not in the dashboard, but you can just, you know, in your show settings, you can just check a box and then I add the OP3 prepend to your URLs for your episodes. And then automatically all your data also shows up in there.
That's good.
So that's very easy to do. And lots of customers actually do that as well, which is very good, good to see.
But well, yeah, I think I'm glad that the IAB stuff, honestly, is I mean, I don't wish ill on anybody, but I'm glad that that is beginning to
crumble,
show cracks. Yeah, because shouldn't the entire IAB spec just be a GitHub repo?
Yeah.
Why is this thousands of dollars?
It's not just the one-time fee; it's an ongoing percentage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing just seems like completely unnecessary.
Well, they have to fund the certification process, which, you know, requires someone diving into a company's logs and, you know, that's what it is. And the business model is Nielsen. You know, you pay Nielsen to get Nielsen ratings. What was the other one? The online system everybody was using for a while for blogs and everything. Oh my God, I can't remember.
That whole system is based on the fact that Airwaves and Spectrum is inaccessible to everybody without going through a government auction to purchase it. It's basically the barrier to entry into the market of cable and broadcast television is too high. Nobody can do it. So, but when you have an internet based system, then you can have a huge company like Buzzsprout and RSS.com and Blueberry. And then you can have on the other end of that, a company like Podhome and RSS Blue. And there's no reason for, like, there's no reason to have this sort of opaque certification process that happens where people just wait around for some auditing group to go in and certify your algorithms. When really what will happen is that stuff gets self-audited by just looking at the numbers. It's like, okay, well, you can easily compare between a show I have over here and a show I have over here, and I've bought some advertising on this network, and I've bought some advertising on this network, and these numbers don't make any sense. You know, this doesn't match up. So, like, there's some funny business going on here. Like, I just don't see that there's a need like there is with like broadcast television and radio.
No, I totally agree. And like you say, the proof is in the pudding. So the customers will figure it out by themselves as well, and can now also compare to OP3, for instance, and then easily see if it's, you know, if it's correct or not.
This kind of brings us back to what what you were talking about earlier, what Sam Sethi was asking on Pod News Weekly Review. Yeah. Once the Nielsen ratings really went to actual data, so it used to be diary based. You know, you fill out a diary what you listen to, and you'd have Nielsen homes. There's a great movie about that, by the way, where the mob. The mob produces a television show, and then they send all of their mobsters to all these Nielsen homes, and they're all sitting there with guns to the people's heads, like, you got to fill out our show. And so they became the number one TV show, which of course actually made them the number one TV show. But once they moved to actual data from cable boxes, which is, you know, it's spying on you all the time, it's so low that now, particularly with big live events, they don't even do overnight ratings anymore. You can't get the ratings. You used to be able to get up at 7 a.m. and have the ratings and know exactly how well your show had done. That's now moved to several days later. And then they have ratings plus 1 day, plus 2 days, plus 3 days for reporting, you know, for people who are using DVRs, which, you know, of course also doesn't take into account for the advertisers that this is important for, that their ads are being skipped. I mean, it's a mess. It really is. And people don't really want to know because it turns out it's much lower.
Yeah. You don't want to see the real numbers like it, because they're depressing. And even for big shows, the numbers are not what you think they are. And so, and the IAB, like, if my big issue is that the IAB can say, they can create all the standardized metric, standardized algorithms they want. But when all of a sudden one app makes a change and everything goes down by 20%, it shows you that the whole thing is built on garbage.
Yeah, that was kind of an unfortunate event.
Yeah, I mean, like, something happens in, it's not even the 20, you know, everything's down 20-24% across the board.
No, wait. Be careful, because you don't want the wrath of Todd. That didn't happen to Blueberry, okay? Their stats are superior, which I don't doubt.
Well, if everybody's IAB certified, and every host is going down by weird, radically different amounts, then this is all silly. I mean, the whole thing's goofy. It should just, the download, the algorithms for measuring stats should just be a GitHub repo with a bunch of interested people who have the interest to donate their own time to get this to happen. That's all. That's all it should be.
Yeah.
There should be no organization behind this at all.
Dream on, brother. Dream on. That'll never happen.
That will happen. It absolutely, I disagree. It will happen, because it's happening right now. Nobody's renewing. Okay, Nobody's renewing. Everybody will just move it over to be a GitHub repo.
I take that back.
It'll take a while. I think everybody's tired of it.
Well, I love OP3. OP3 makes me happy, you know, and I never looked at stats. All I cared about is, can I pay the rent? And now it's interesting to know, just from a, okay, I'm getting this many people who are supporting with value for value, the treasure part, because a lot of people support with time and talent, which is absolutely equatable to money. And so I can see that percentage. That's important to me. And it doesn't matter how accurate the number is. It's a number, as long as the number is consistent. And now having the time stats in there, now it's interesting. Now I can use it from a programming standpoint. I can make decisions about what I'm doing in the show itself. And this is the one thing that I've always felt with value for value streaming payments. There is a huge reward for me when Tina and I started our podcast, CareenTheKeeper.com. We started up, she gets mad at me if I don't promote it. We started our podcast. We started from zero. It's still not an Apple. We didn't put it anywhere else, only on modern podcast apps. And just for her as a brand new podcaster, when I said, take a look, and she could see per minute Satoshi's coming in, that encouraged her. It gave her a really good, it encouraged me. And I'm jaded. I'm like, wow, that's so cool. Someone is actually listening and they care so much that they're sending a Satoshi per minute or whatever it is. That to me is what's beautiful and what podcasting is about. That encouragement is built right in. I also like the idea of the AI generated, you know, thumbs up, but I'm just saying this is something that is very exciting for podcasting.
Yeah, absolutely. And so with the analytics, you know, you have to think about what's the use of even showing analytics to users, right? And you hit it on the head right there. So it's motivation. Like, is somebody actually listening to this stuff? And then you can have some extra things. Oh, people are listening in 5 countries and 10 countries. That's so exciting. And something actionable. So what are they listening to? What is resonating with the people that are listening?
Right.
You know, you might have an episode that is viral-ish or something, you know, more popular than other episodes. So you can then change what you do based upon those things. But it's nothing more than that. But you should, you know, think about why you are actually even showing this to users, not just because you have it, right?
Well, if you're going to make it through podcast winter, you know, if... in this industry, I think the companies that make it through Podcast Winter are going to be small teams. And I would say, you know, people like the size of Blueberry, RSS, Buzzsprout, Red Circle, and smaller. Those companies, the big staffed hosting companies that are all in on an advertising play, like Libsyn, yeah, and Acast, and these just giant companies that are trying to be publicly listed and that kind of thing, they're going to struggle. The Podcast Winter is going to be very hard for those companies. Small teams, are going to survive, and I think they're going to do well. So, I mean, like it's been really encouraging to see guys like you and Dobie Doss those guys bringing up this very sort of, almost like a boutique, like these little boutique 2.0 hosting companies, because we had somebody ask us the other day, where can I go? And I want to do an audiobook podcast.
Right.
Where can I go to do that? Like what host? Because this was a person who doesn't know anything about how podcasting works on a technical level. Yeah. And so, you know, she was like, I've got an audiobook I need to narrate for somebody. And I need something that's super easy. Well, the bigger hosts, they're not there yet. You know, they move slower. And so it's like, well, now you have 2.0 hosts like Podhome and RSS Blue that can serve that market. They can serve the early adopter 2.0 market. That is a legitimate market that just, it needs to be served. But it's going to take a small team like you to do it. And I'm really thankful for it.
Yeah. And I'm happy to be able to, you know, use all of your good work to make the listening experience better, because that's what it's about, right? So when people have transcripts and chapters and that works across all apps, then the listening experience becomes better. And that's also why I chose to adopt all these features and tags.
It also, you know, what I find beautiful about this is, you know, just some history for people who don't know, but the podcast ecosystem had become the podcast industrial complex and was frozen. It was completely frozen because hosting companies would say, well, you know, if Apple's not going to do anything, then we're not going to do it. We're not going to add any features. And everyone, you know, would be pleading with Apple, and Apple had no intention of doing anything like that. And which I can't fault them for. It's not their core business. They don't care. They want people to buy their products and use the base, and they have their own namespace and their own thoughts, which is fine. But through many miracles, seeing the, and I'd have to say a lot of it was Stephen B, who started and said, okay, here's an app. This is CurioCaster. And here's the service that writes the feed. And just by having that, and I believe that everything comes from publishing. So that's why I keep publishing cross app comments. It's there. Data wants to go, Sam. It wants to surface. But just as Dave said, being at the point now where we have enough apps that have enough features, and then seeing these 2.0 native hosting companies, what I call them, as you say, with no technical debt, that's progress that I hadn't even thought of happening. I'm so delighted to see it.
Well, it makes it a valid ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, because there's things when we run with scissors and do something that's really nuts, then it takes, it really is only going to be somebody like a one man team that is going to be able to handle the risk of doing a thing like that.
Not only that, but to get artists who take risk.
Yeah.
And then to see all these different teams come together, like on the Minneapolis concert. I mean, that, exactly as you said, and oh man, this is so good. This is good, rich discussion. this is the essence of podcasting. We all got really caught up in money and in, you know, monetizing and growing your show and, you know, being number one. And that's not it at all. But what it is being a, look, I've been doing this for 16 years. According to OP3, No Agenda has 900,000 people. That's my people. Right. If it grows to 2 million, great. If it shrinks to 400,000, it doesn't matter. That's my people. Being able to see them, interact with them, certainly through the feedback mechanism of boostergrams, much more about that than it is about the money. You know, it's beautiful when it can be self-sustaining, but that loop, just those little satisfying things of knowing someone is out there, that's really when podcasting becomes valuable to people's lives from the audience perspective as well as the podcaster perspective.
Yeah. And so value attracts value, right? And so what you guys are doing.
Ooh, I gotta write that one down. There's a t-shirt.
So you created methods that can create more value for podcasters, right? Because when they add all of this extra metadata that wasn't there before with just Apple, then the listener gets more value out of it. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. And then they can also provide you with value, true value for value and other means as well. But that's the whole circle, right? It's all just providing extra value. And so I'm very happy to add things in Podhome that add value to what my people create and then what listeners can listen to. I'm a listener myself. I love to listen to have a better listening experience, right? So that's what it's all about.
Did you say earlier that your AI product is helping create the person tags?
Yeah. So okay. It can detect which people are speaking. But at least it tries. It doesn't do that on voice, by the way. Not yet, at least. And I probably won't do that because that means I need to store that information as well. That's a bit of a privacy thing.
Right.
It tries to detect which people are speaking. It can. So and I then suggest that to you.
I use for my trans. I really would love to use something else. I'd love to give my money to somebody else, but I use otter.ai. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I still use it is because it, now I had to tell it what the speaker's names were. But I really wanted the transcripts to have the name because there was at least one app, Podfriend, as far as I know, that does something really fun with speaker names. And so on Podfriend, when I'm talking, my head pops up in a little bubble with what I said. And when someone else is talking, cool. Then that pops up. But I have not been able to find a transcription service that does this with speed. And otter.ai, it takes a long time. It takes a long time for that to complete.
Yeah. No, this is surprisingly fast, actually. When you identify who says what, because you get a little snippet of audio, and then you're like, oh, that's Adam. Okay, so that's Adam Curry. That's the person. Cool. And then it puts that in the transcript, and also I add a transcript in JSON and an HTML, and also an SRT in there as well, because some apps just use that, or maybe you want to download the SRT or VTT for YouTube if you want to go there. But you can.
Well, this is great. So maybe I'll just switch from Otter AI to Podhome AI and just use it for the transcripts.
Yeah, you can take a look.
I'd much rather pay you. And it's about the same. In fact, I think I pay more for Otter than the $15.99.
Yeah, and Podhome AI is unlimited, just like everything else. So you're not bound to an amount of hours per month.
So are you using Azure on the back end for that?
No, I started out with that.
But you're Barry Azure. Why aren't
Azure
you?
Barry.
Azure Barry. Yeah.
I know. And they have, they have OpenAI services on Azure and all sorts of other stuff, AI stuff on Azure as well nowadays.
How long does it take?
It's expensive, though. Yeah.
It's expensive, but it's also very gated. So whatever you put in there is filtered, censored, and, you said a bad word. Now I don't return anything. Yeah, just
AI. The AI world is going to suck so bad. Vanilla. So how long does it take on average for an hour of audio to do the transcript with speaker names? If you teach it the speaker names.
You cannot teach it the speaker names yet. So what it takes about 2 minutes per hour of audio to get the whole transcript and the rest of it back, chapters and all that type of stuff.
So when it detects people, what do I get in the SRT file?
So when it is done, then you go to your episode settings and there you have a people tab and then it says, hey, we found these two people. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? You need to confirm if that's correct. Once you do that, then I stick it into the transcript and into the SRT and everything else.
And do you have to do that every time?
Yeah, for now, yes, but I'm working on a solution for that.
Okay, yeah, because I just basically have, you know, seven names or whatever. And so yours is not in my database, but now I'll put it in. The next time you come on, it'll detect you.
Yeah, right. So that is actually actual speaker detection based on my voice then, or your voice. Mm-hmm. And that's the fancy way to do it and very complicated as well, as I then need to store that information, which I really don't want to do. But I can, but there's easier solutions as well. Okay. So that is coming.
I'm excited. 2 minutes would be great because, you know, it's one of those things that always have to, believe me, when you save me time, you are my friend forever. So so here's my workflow. The minute I'm done with the show, and there's usually no edit, so I just upload it to the server while I'm doing all the other stuff. I need that because I need to get the size for the head request, you know, whatever, before publishing the feed. Then I grab a dummy transcript file. I have to rename it. Then I have to open it up, you know, make sure it just says transcript is processing. Then I have to upload it. Then I have to wait until it's uploaded, make sure it's uploaded, and then I can continue. So it's just a pain in the butt. It's annoying. Mm. It's an annoying process for a world which should be automated and computerized.
Yeah. And nowadays we can. I think I use the same backend server as Fountain does because they are also super quick with their transcripts. Mm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Take a look. Yeah. Try it out.
Yeah. I forgot. What are they using? What's the company there?
I think they're using the same thing, and that's DeepGram.
That's it. Awesome. Yeah. It's so fast.
Oh, it's great. It's great for a transcript. It's phenomenal.
Lots of languages. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I think Nathan's using that for Steno as well. His was just as fast as Fountain. Yeah, that's a great thing. What would you like to see, Barry, in phase 7 of the namespace? Is there anything that you're?
Can we give you more work?
High on. Yeah. Anything that you're really chomping at the bit to see?
There's basically two things. So
okay,
a very good.
I got my pen. I'm ready.
A very good deduplication process.
Yeah.
It's a difficult thing.
We're not going to talk about that.
And of course, cross S app comments. I would really love to offer that as well. So. If I can grab that from somewhere and show it to people in one centralized place, that would be awesome.
Okay. Yeah. So
interaction with your listeners, right?
Okay.
Do you also give each podcast their own homepage?
Yeah, if they want, yeah. Flip a switch and then I generate a pod home website.
Yeah, because I've been using, I got to give props to PodPage, which is also just a 1 or 2 man operation. And, yes. Dave?
No, I lost you for a second.
I wanted to give props to PodPage because they've been adding 2.0 features. Which is really cool. Now I think chapters are starting to show up and, you know, that's just what I use for, I've been using that. I like them, you know, another small independent company. And I think that's very undervalued, the value of having your homepage, you know, like Boostagram Ball. Now I'm horrible at design and I can't even make something that has predefined templates look good. I just suck. But it actually does
that's
a pretty good
I'm
job.
That's what I'm for.
Yeah, for design. Ooh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I want to, so that's why I have all these bells and whistles, right? Like a pod home website, just to make it easy as possible for you, so that you don't need to
do anything.
I don't know, get a Squarespace thing or have a server or know anything about that. You can just start it.
Do you have registration of domain names through there as well, or how does that work?
You can couple your custom domain to it if you want, and otherwise it will be an address that I generate. It's a simple website. It looks okay, and it looks nice on mobile as well. And the fun thing is you can see your transcript on there, and it will highlight what is being said now.
It goes along nice.
And also chapters as well, and they do the same thing as well. So whenever you're in a chapter, you can see,
That I found incredibly useful. Now, I've been generating my show notes in XML for ever since Freedom Controller. I got something in my throat. And this enabled people to create search engines. I have to say, so if you look at bingit.io, which Dino put together, Sir Dino, Denonymous, being able to go to a search, and of course, there's also the transcript search that Stephen Bell put together. I use that from time to time as well, since bingit.io is only for No Agenda. Being able to search through the transcript and show notes, man, that's a game changer. And I feel so much more could be done with that, that people just aren't thinking about. But just from I use it live during the show. Dvorak will say something like, hold on a second, I think we talked about this before. Boom, 5 years ago. Oh, there it is. Click, it plays the audio. I mean, these are amazing things.
Yeah. That's, now you mention it. So I also have a pen and paper here.
Yeah, that's what the boardroom's all about, brother.
Yeah, that's a cool feature. And thinking out loud, that would be an awesome feature if I could make something like that across all podcasts that I host that then have transcripts, right? So you search for something and then something shows up and you can immediately listen to it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. On the backlog.
How, I know you have a full-time job. Are you working towards making this your full-time occupation?
This is my full-time occupation.
Oh,
full-time, yeah.
Oh, I thought when I heard you on like Pod News Weekly Review, you still had a day job.
No, that might be somebody else. So, wow. I make my money with online courses. Still,
right. Okay. Yeah.
And those things, those are separate from the effort that I put in them a long time ago. Sometimes I need to update them. That's true. That doesn't cost.
Ongoing revenue that you get from that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
How do I get into that? I like that sound of that. give me some work, man. Let me narrate some stuff. That's what I'm good at.
Yeah. So that provides me with time to make stuff like this. So I'm doing this full time. I've been doing this full time now for a year and then some.
Wow. Congratulations. And that's great.
Yeah. So if I do it well this year, then hopefully, I get enough revenue from Pod Home as well.
And you won't have to be a prostitute the rest of the time. That's good.
Exactly. Yeah.
Won't have to be selling weed out of the trunk of your car. Nice. Nice. Wow. That's great, man. I'm so happy for you. That's fantastic. What a success story. I love it.
And it also means that I do not need to take any VC money or stuff like that. I really do not want to do that. So it's just fully bootstrapped and all I have is time. I can only go up.
What does your technology stack look like at Pod Home? Is that a Microsoft stack or what is that?
Yeah, Microsoft stack. So I'm very comfortable with that. I run it on in Azure as well. So it is ASP.NET Blazor for those.
Blazor. Oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah. It's very interesting because that means that I can do HTML and C# in HTML, basically, which is just amazing for me as a developer. Yeah. I use lots of Azure functions as background processes that do lots of stuff like imports and process media, kickoff other things, AI, all that type of stuff.
Wow.
Just standard Microsoft stuff.
I'm pretty sure you hold the distinction of being the only Microsoft stack in all of podcasting. If I had to guess, that's a wild guess, but I think that's probably a safe one.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Don't you be like the cool kids and use Rust?
No. Don't throw me under the bus.
You know, just use what's the most comfortable thing for you and where you're most productive in. And that's, for me, that's C# and Microsoft stuff.
No, I love C#. C# is basically you write part of if you don't know the name of something, you just write part of it and then you just hit tab 800 times until you finally found the right thing. That's C#. If you're still confused, add a dot and do it and hit tab again.
Well, hey, much better than JavaScript. You just type something and, it seems to work and then it breaks down in the browser.
That's right.
It doesn't exist.
Or go to ChatGPT and say, hey, build this for me in Python. And then it does something that doesn't work. But, okay.
Yeah, it never works.
Rarely. Rarely does it does it work out of the box. Rarely.
Well, I must say, we can diss AI all we want, but I use GitHub Copilot. And that is basically ChatGPT, but then in developer mode. And it just helps me a lot with, thinking about things.
Oh, no, people swear by it. I mean, when it comes to language, I'm all about the LLMs. That's definitely, there's things that LLMs do very, very well.
Oh, yeah.
But this whole idea of the machine is going to think and it's going to eat the world? No, I don't think so.
No, but it can be a great helper for stuff like this, text-based stuff.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah. Logic, language, construction is very good. One of my favorite things to do is look up Bible scripture. You can give it a concept and, it has so many different versions of these texts that it finds all kinds of stuff and it can write entire sermons. Mm. It's super interesting. But language, when it comes to language, it's not bad at all.
Does it do a good job there or does it hallucinate stuff?
Well, that's a good question because I'm sure, that's interesting. I think there's so much written that it doesn't have to resort. I think the hallucination happens when it doesn't have an answer or it doesn't have the data.
It doesn't reference the book of Third Moses.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Rewrite Revelation where it's all good. Okay. I have to continue to diss AI because I just don't see the business model. I mean, you pay for a Copilot?
Yeah, but they are apparently they're losing money. Like
they
like
must crazy. Be. Because it's the overhead of running it. I mean, I have 11 LLMs on my Start 9, which is a lot of fun. Yeah. But I can just see what it takes.
It takes a lot of compute power.
Yeah. And if you want to, so there's a, like an 11 gigabyte model and that just takes a lot more to, then it's slower. It's just slower because the box is limitations. So it's a trade-off. If you want something quick, down and dirty, then you go for like a 2 gigabyte model. Your results may vary.
But this will be a very temporary thing. So this is, it's still extremely new, right? Since that this has been actually working as a consumer product. So I believe that in the years to come, this will be very cheap to run. And then they can make lots of money. And we all are in the door already. So they're selling us already, making us dependent on this stuff.
Well, the thing I'm skeptical about, not to belabor this, turn this into an AI podcast, but Google... Google has a very successful advertising model. That's their core business. That's what they do. It's $40 billion a year. And I don't see how you shoehorn AI functionality into, they spent so much money on optimizing. Their whole DNA is this took 0.3 seconds to get this answer. That's their entire DNA. And they have to completely, and they've been doing this. They've been rejiggering all of their data centers. I mean, the only people really making money right now is, NVIDIA, the chip guys. Yeah. And in fact, and Dave, I think you told me this, that's exactly what Sam Altman was doing, is he was working, although Dvorak,
with
the
Saudis.
Yeah, I think Dvorak says he's crazy, because just to say, oh, I'm going to start a chip company, that's a 20-year plan. You know, you don't just start a chip company and, oh, I'll just do AI chips. It's not that simple.
Yeah, Microsoft is doing that now as well, their own AI chips.
Right. Well, and that was probably part of their deal. You know, yeah. They have a built-in mm-hmm. consumer, and that's where the money is. And my prediction is it's all going to pivot to qubits. Everyone's going to be like, well, you know, we can't quantum. Really make much money. We're going to do quantum. Yeah, quantum computing.
But by the time that this stuff gets cheap enough to run it at scale, it will also be the hardware will also be capable enough to run, you know, 24, 36 gig LLMs on your hardware.
Yeah.
And then at that point, you just run it locally and you don't need the scale anyway. So, you know, that's because if you can ship an LLM as an just in the OS, then
there you go.
You just don't even need that. You don't need Azure anymore.
Well, they will stop. They will work as hard as they can to protect that. Please see the executive order that our president signed. It's all about that. It's all about blocking off and protecting the incumbents.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I am looking into running my own thing in the future so that I'm not dependent on any third-party services. So, but let's see. We'll see how it goes. It evolves quickly, at least.
Well, Barry, it's been cool to have you in the boardroom, man. As I said, I'm just delighted and overjoyed at your success. And you know, as I call you, RSS Blue,
you know, David Doss.
Yeah, you're 2.0 native companies, and that's very exciting. It really is, and I look forward to more. You know, some more of the stuff that you put together, and I not being an AI fan, but I think you're making very good usage of LLMs to, you know, to create a lot of the metadata that may just be harder for some people to do. I mean, even coming up with titles and stuff, you know, I spend time on that. You know, it's not always mm-hmm. easy for people. That's one of the main things. It would be great if it'd be fun to see if art could ever be created for chapters. You know?
Yeah.
Although I prefer humans. I love.
yeah.
Please, I want to make sure that Dreb Scott doesn't get upset. Dreb, we love you, brother. We love you. We love what you do. You do the best chapters. I'm never going to replace you.
Sometimes I see a chapter title from Dreb and it just makes me laugh, literally laugh out loud.
I know. And the humor, that's the one thing. Humor is going to be very difficult. People using AI for humor is the killer app. I mean, did you hear the Bill Gates AI I had?
Yeah, that was awesome.
I don't know. Dave, did you hear it? You haven't heard it.
No, I didn't hear
Listen
it.
Listen, it's only 30 seconds.
I'm here in Dubai. And of course, I flew in on my private jet. Very, very important meeting. The issue of you peasants eating bugs will be discussed at length. That's never gotten the attention it deserves. The issue of COVID-19 not killing off enough poor people and my vaccines not weeding out the rest of you bastards, which is a tragedy, of course. We'll talk about using killer robots next. Chat absolutely solved that problem.
See, that's the killer app of AI right now, is using it for comedic purposes. But it can't come up with the jokes itself.
Yeah, see, Dreb on the last show, when we talked about Gilmore Girls, his chapter title was "The Pod Sage Visits Stars Hollow." I mean, like, that's just... That's
beautiful. Yeah.
The AI is not going to, it's not going to help you with that.
No, you can't replace it. Shall we thank a few people, Dave?
We should.
I'm going to look at the boostograms that have come in. I think people have been so engrossed in the conversation. There's been very little boosting going on, which is not a problem, but I will read what I have. Harv Hat, 3333. That was 19 minutes ago. And then before that, it was 1 hour ago. He says boost. 1 hour ago, 1701 from Source D, who said 73. Source D, I expect a QSO from you. Kilo 5 Alpha Charlie Charlie. Salty Crayon, who sent 333, and he says, boardroom is lit. And I believe that is it. That's what we got on the live boost. It's low boost.
Boost winter. We're in boost winter.
Boost winter. Brrr, boost.
We've got some. We have no one-off PayPals this week, but we do have some boost. We got 33333 through from Dreb Scott.
Thank you, Dreb.
CurioCaster, and Dreb says, "Howdy, Dave and Adam, and hi there, podcast listeners. I'd like to invite you to check out and subscribe to CSB.LOL, which features hilarious cartoons. Just head over to CSB.LOL and get ready to laugh, Dreb."
Wow. So this is interesting marketing. CSB has gotten Dreb to promote him. I love it.
Or CSB is pretending to be Dreb, which could also be.
Doesn't seem like his style.
It doesn't. But it is very. It's still technically possible.
Yes.
Thank you, Dreb. Via 5,000 sats through Fountain. He says, "Wasn't listening live, so don't know if anyone was awake, but I for sure enjoyed the Rust talk. The unwrapping sounds like tagged unions for kids, which is great. love to hear traditional imperative coders get slowly feature by feature sucked into the magical world of functional programming."
Yes, I'm glad I could participate in that conversation.
You're a big fan of functional programming.
It's one of my favorites. I mean, you know, besides tabbing 1,000 times to get to the right answer in C#, it's, I'm all about the functional thing. Yeah.
And don't forget dots.
Dots.
Yes. Mere Mortals podcast 2222 through Fountain. He says, Kyron, he says, "I'm focusing a lot more on convos again, and especially those involved with value for value. Are there any questions or themes you would like to hear or you think are lacking from the general convo? Would love your thoughts. Go podcasting."
First of all,
go podcasting.
I'm trying to, I don't know. Barry, you got anything that you would like as a convo topic?
Oof, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not sure. I'm always delighted by the surprising conversations that you have, Kyron. So I have no demands.
I would love to hear Devil's Advocate. I would love to hear some adversarial back and forth about I don't think it'll work, and then showing that it does.
Yeah, we need more adversity online. There's not enough of that.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I forget it. Take it back. I take it back. Cut that out in post.
I don't think so.
Dreb Scott 12345 through CurioCaster. He says boosting. see the anonymous 5,000 sats through Podverse. He or she says reply addresses and boosts. How awesome if we could one day replace email with boostergrams. Yeah, that's.
Hey, I'm ready for the replies, man. I am ready for it. We'll get there eventually.
Eric PP is banging his head against it. He's working on it.
Yeah, I know he is. The guy doing all that. And Helipad is such a beautiful product. It's like I use it all day long.
Another shining example of my fantastic UI style skills.
It's actually one of your better UIs.
That's actually, I know what you're trying to compliment, but it's actually not a compliment.
What do you mean that was a compliment? You've
it's
evolved.
A cardboard box with some Sharpie on it is what that is.
It's very functional. I like it a lot. And ever since you taught me how to import a CSV file into Excel to create a pivot table, my life has never been the same. It's just beautiful.
Baby, this dress makes me look fat. It's like, no, it doesn't. You look very functional.
Wow. I'll try that tonight.
Okay. Sir Brian of London, 21948.
Yo, yo.
Through Castomatic. He says, the tone of this message has been checked by AI and verified friendly and supportive.
You know, I got a lot of people commenting on that then when we ran Comics or Blogger through ChatGPT.
Oh, okay.
People love that. There were people like trying to automate it, you know, so they could have a sub commenter blogger account. Like when he posts something, then it would create a mirror of him speaking friendly nicely, friendly CSB
at friendly CSB.
It was great. It was great.
Phantom Power Music, 10,000 sats through True Fans. He says, "Market Ainsley Costello, please."
Oh, yes, I need to give an update. I had the conversation with the $30 million media company guy.
Oh, Oh, okay.
And he did not understand at all what I was talking about. Although he gave me his vision, which I understand. And I said, well, you know, I think I don't think it's a good idea to put money into content creation. That's a good way to spend all your money. He has a vision. And I said, well, you know, I'm happy to help and advise, but you'll get pushback from me. And then he asked me to be an advisor, which I said I would definitely consider, because anything I can do, mainly the music thing is what interested him. But yeah, he did put in the T word in his conversation.
No, T as in noster?
No, as in tipping.
And that dagger to the heart.
And yeah, that did hurt a little bit. But I will continue to do my best to promote value for value. And all I really want is I want a media company to market existing shows, products, services, apps that are in our ecosystem. That's my mission, and I continue to be on it. And the combo has been opened.
Nicholas B58, 22222 through Fountain. Says, great episode, even 3 months later. Oh, this is in reference. This is a boost for episode 150.
Wow.
He says, I'm catching up. Greetings from Switzerland.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Grüß Gott.
Thank you. At Nick, sent us 2222, a row of ducks through Fountain. He says, God is sitting up at the top with a lot of remote items and his GUID is one. Laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Piet Pauling. 1111 Satchel of Richards through Podverse. He says, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Nicholas B58 again coming back through Fountain with 12121. He says, because I had to listen on my browser, you get this boost. Okay.
Nice.
Kyron. Again. That's 2222 again. He's the podcast guru. He says, you guys are amazing. Well, I agree. And the Delimiter. Comic strip blogger, 32,000 sats through Fountain. He says, howdy, Jesus followers, Dave and Adam. I'd like to invite your audience to follow me on Twitter or x.com. My username there is CSB, just three letters. Any follower who follows me there for 33 days or longer will get from me $1 paid in Bitcoin Satoshis. Just let me know 33 days after following me, and I'll transfer via invoice or Lightning address. Yo, CSB.
Oh, all right. Paying people to listen. That's interesting.
It's becoming an ETF. It's like a CSB ETF.
ETF.
Yeah. It's basically what he is.
We got some, late live boostergrams come in from Dreb Scott, 45678. Beautiful Dreb. Thank you. Appreciate that. Also a 4567 from Dreb Scott. He says, love you too, Adam. Oh. And here's one for Barry, Nathan G, 2222. Love to hear your thoughts on a dedicated podcasting 2.0 services for HLS live streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about live and lit stuff.
Yeah. And video. Yeah.
Barry, you want to get into that?
Yeah. I'd love to. Yeah, so, we got a little time. We got a few more minutes. Sure.
I do. So I have this like backlog thing. I use Todoist. I don't know if you know that. It's like a to-do thing.
What's it called?
Todoist.
Todoist. I love these types of things. So I'm going to write that down.
That's where I store my whole life in. If it's not in there, I don't do it. It's that simple. I forget it. So I have this list of backlog in progress, bugs, and shipped. And so on the backlog, there is a live item that is in there, and it is getting close to going into in progress. So I really want to do that because I also want to create a live show. That's the motivation, basically. I really want to do that, and I'm trying to think about what the best way of actually doing that is, because I don't want to half-ass it where you say, well, I have this live service that I use somewhere, and then I put that in here in Podhome into some the URL in a box, and that's it.
A bunch of copy and pasting, yeah.
Yeah, so I want to create that indeed natively within Podhome so that you don't have to leave Podhome to actually do that. But that means providing indeed a streaming service and server. So I'm thinking about that, but it will come definitely this year. Yes.
Okay, cool. I mean, I think that's a big one and a big differentiator to have the actual streaming service.
Yeah.
Available. I think that would be huge. And there's so many cool things. I mean, the one thing that I'm still looking for, just throwing it out there. So I have my own stream. It's actually offline right now, I think, but I have my own stream. And I just put a whole playlist in there of Boostergram Balls. I would love for there to be an RSS feed that dynamically adapts whatever, you know, says, oh, this is this show. Click, here's the value time splits for that show. So when people are listening to a live stream that is archived, that the live value time splits will WebSocket and make it work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's radio. What I said. Yeah. Yeah. Radio. Yes. I'm sorry. It's called radio. Right.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
No, but yeah, but that is a good idea. And I am thinking about that. And that will, this year, it will be audio only.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's the best way to develop any feature is when you're the one there, when you want it for yourself, because then you'll build it well.
Right. True. True.
And I know people want video because they want to be on YouTube or something. I don't want to be on YouTube because I just get censored anyways. But
that's what Noah Genetics is for.
Yeah. I do think video has a place, you know, at least for discoverability. And the youngsters are all watching the videos, apparently. So I will probably add video capabilities, as in you can just upload a video if you have it, and then I will extract the audio from there as well, process it and do all the fancy things I do already with it, but then add the video alternate enclosure, so that apps because apparently there are a bunch of apps that already do this. As we saw with Ainsley's event.
Yes.
And do it well, so that people can just, you know, choose what they want to look at. And that shouldn't be that difficult. It just takes a lot of storage power. And I need to figure out how to do that efficiently.
IPFS, man.
Yeah.
I like the term storage power. This is a great term.
That's a good title, actually. I was looking at Big Blob of JSON, but I think storage power is better. Storage power. Storage power.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, you knew it.
We got some monthlies. I don't want to forget about them.
Yes.
We got Chris Cowan, $5. Terry Keller, $5. Mitch from Podverse, $10.
Thank you.
Christopher Harabarek, $10. Thank you, Chris. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Thank you, Lauren. Basil Phillips, $25. Thank you, Basil. And Podverse, $50. Thank you, Mitch and Creon.
Yes, thank you all very much. This is Value for Value. I keep forgetting. Who was it? Was it Chad F. who did our numbers for the past 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to talk about that. I've got that on my list. It's just me and you next week. Let's talk about that next week.
Okay, good. Because definitely. I love value for value. Value for value is so the way to go. What do we have now? We have 5,000 people listening to the show.
Oh, in OP3? No, it's like 8,000.
Oh, it is. Oh, 8,000. Okay. That's our total audience.
8,617 in December.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that next week. And, but in the meantime,
only 40% of them are listening right now.
I know. No, it's that last 10%. No one's listening right now.
That's just true.
Value for value. Go to podcastindex.org down at the bottom of the page. There are two big red buttons. One is to take you to Tallycoin, where still nobody is sending us any on-chain Bitcoin. maybe because of the fees or whatever, but I'm glad we did it. Not since the 27th of October. The other one is for your Fiat Fun coupons through PayPal. We appreciate that as well, as long as it's value for value. And of course, I don't even have to mention how many people help out with time and treasure, I mean, talent along with the treasure. And what we really want you to do is go to podcastapps.com, get yourself a modern podcast app, and join the revolution, because it really is a revolution. It's making a lot of difference. I sound like Leo Laporte when I do that. I should stop that.
Stop.
And thank you all very much for being here in the boardroom. Barry, brother, thank you so much for all you're doing, man. This was an enjoyable conversation. I liked it a lot.
Yeah,
thank you very much for having me on. And just as a final thing, I know nobody's listening anymore now.
Yes.
So it's the perfect time to say this.
Yes, just three of us,
If you go to pothome.fm and you sign up, use the promo code GOPODCASTING. You get 3 months for free.
Oh, okay. And what do you get for promo code Bongino? That's the question everyone wants to know.
Nothing yet, but I can create one.
No, please don't. Please don't. Dave, my brother, thank you so much. We appreciate you, man. I love you so much.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Have a good weekend.
Okay. Everybody in the boardroom, thank you for being here. We return next Friday with another board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. We'll see you there. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Podcasts are cool. You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
I swallowed a bug.